And with that, it's 6 o'clock, so we'll call the meeting to order. Welcome to the City of Black Diamond Planning Commission meeting for June 8th, 2021. And would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner LeConte? No? Okay. Is he unexcused? You didn't hear from him?
I haven't heard from him.
Okay. Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Perez?
Present.
Commissioner McCain?
I haven't heard from Commissioner McCain yet either.
Okay. I spoke with her probably 15 minutes before the meet, 5:45, so she must be running late.
Okay. Commissioner Wheatfall?
She's running late. Excused. Okay. If she doesn't make it.
Okay. Commissioner Amber?
Here.
And Commissioner Olson?
Present.
Okay, thank you.
All right, the next order of business is to approve the approval of the minutes for the regular business meeting of May 11, 2021. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes, and are there any changes or corrections? Hearing no corrections or changes, is there any objection to approving the regular Planning Commission meeting for May 11th, 2021?
Commissioner Jensen, I would move that we accept those minutes.
Commissioner Jensen makes a motion to approve the minutes of May 11th, 2021. Is there a second?
Commissioner Perez, I second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Perez. All in favor say aye, or and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, sorry. Opposed, say no. Motion carried. The next order of business is the public comments. Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission are encouraged to do so at this time. If you've phoned in, please raise your hand by pressing *9. And if you're on video, please just raise your hand and we will call on you. Once recognized, please state your name and city for the record. And we will limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone that would like to provide any comments to the Planning Commission? Director Davis would.
I just wanted to mention, we did receive public comments today from Linda Stanley, and I forwarded those to all the planning commissioners today. So I just wanted to make record of that.
Thank you, yes. Anyone else that would like to make a public comment? Hearing no one? Let's move on to the next order of business, which is new business. In the packet, you should have received 2 items of information prepared by Director Davis, one for senior housing definition and the other for fences and hedges code amendments. So with that, I'll turn it over to Director Davis.
Thank you, Chair Olson, and good evening, commissioners. It's nice to see many of you tonight. Well, first of all, I wanted to mention, and I'll elaborate more on this in my director's report, but I wanted to mention that we have a senior planner available here on contract, and her name is Emily Adams, and she's with AHBL, and she has been with us for, what do you think, Emily, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I think about 6 weeks.
Okay. And she's just been doing a great job. And so I've asked her to help me with tonight's packet material. As I think some of you know, I got a little behind last month preparing the docket and the housing action plan for the City Council and Planning Commission in May, and then somehow missed the deadline with, especially with the holiday for Memorial Day. I missed the deadline to have a public hearing around these proposed code amendments in this meeting. So once we go through, I thought we'd have like a study session on these two code amendments today. And then I'd like to ask, and many of you have responded, that we have a special meeting on June 22nd to hold a public hearing in order to hear public testimony and then make a recommendation to the city council to move these items forward to the council in July. So, and it, you know, there's not any huge hurry. It's just that we've got a lot of work on our plate for the second half of the year. And so these minor code amendments that have been lingering out there, I just felt like, well, let's just utilize June to get these through and discuss them and then move on from there. So with that, I'd like to introduce Emily Adams, and she's going to give a brief presentation on each of the proposed amendments tonight. And then I will, you know, we're both here to answer questions or participate in the conversation around these items. So feel free to ask questions after we get through that. It looks like Commissioner McCain just showed up. Welcome.
I apologize for that.
That's okay. You're expressing many of our sentiments today.
It's like sliding into home base, you know.
Right. So, Emily, would you like to start? Which one will we start with tonight? The senior housing, I'm assuming. Since it's first on the agenda.
That sounds good.
Okay. Sounds Emily, good. Would you like to start off and explain this in a little more detail?
Absolutely. So good evening, commissioners. As Director Davis said, I'm Emily Adams, and I've been helping the Community Development Department with some of the workload and the planning items. So first on the agenda tonight for us is the senior housing code amendments. So currently in the City of Black Diamond code, the senior housing definition limits the age to 65 years or older for senior housing. And the first part of this proposal is to lower that age to 55. This is in line with HUD recommendations. A lot of the HUD programs start at 55 for senior housing. And we feel it also allows senior housing developers that come in, like SHAG, which is a big senior housing developer in the area, choose which age they want to limit their senior housing at, whether it be 55, 62, or 65, which are the typical senior housing. So instead of restricting any senior housing that comes in to have to be 65, they could now choose any of those three options and be in compliance with the HUD regulations. And 55 is also a common senior housing age in the area. Orning, Enumclaw, Milton, Buckley, all of those nearby kind of similar cities limit it to 55. And then the second part of this is to add that senior housing can be permitted in cottage housing to the definition. So all the cottage housing regulations would remain the same, such as the zoning, location restrictions, size, that sort of thing. But adding a kind of detached style housing to the senior housing allows for a more affordable option for seniors. And it's also a really great option that feels like single family, but is a lot smaller. So it's a good transition. And we feel something that would be beneficial to be available to senior housing. So those are the two edits, two minor ones for this, really just three words total. And as Director Davis said, we're happy to answer any questions, have any discussion on this that commissioners feel necessary.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. Commissioners, are there any questions or comments?
Commissioner Amber, what do you mean by cottage housing? Is this like detached, what do they call it, accessory dwelling units, or is this a whole different type of neighborhood?
Yeah, it's a whole, it is detached, but it's a whole different type of neighborhood, to steal your term there. In the City of Black Diamond Municipal Code, cottage housing is its own section, and they're small detached units. They're only allowed right now, and I think it's the MDR-8 zone, and they have, I believe, Director Davis, correct me if I'm wrong, you can only have 12 or 16 of them on site, and there's usually common open space requirements and certain densities and coverages that they have to meet. So it's kind of a unique style of detached single-family homes.
Commissioner Amber. So in an RD8 zone, you can have 16 of these cottages.
I'm looking it up right now. Give me one second. This is the benefit of virtual meetings, is I can pull up the code online as we speak.
Yes, so cottage housing is discussed in the Black Diamond Municipal Code under Chapter 18.88. Just to give you a point of reference. And it's permitted in the MDR8 zone, as Emily said. The minimum cottage housing project size is 4 dwelling units on a minimum 14,400 square foot site. And it's limited to no more than 12 dwelling units in any single project.
Let's see, that didn't quite, clear on that still. This is an RD8 zone, so it's 8 houses per acre, right?
Correct.
And so it would still be 8 cottages per acre, but you could only have a maximum of 12 in, that would be 2 lots if I'm.
Well, in any project. So if you came in with a 2-acre lot, you could only do a maximum of 12.
Okay. But it would still be 8 units per acre.
Correct.
Okay.
There may be, and I want to look here. Before I say that, I just want to make sure Emily, do you know if there's any bonus density provisions?
There is. I was looking at that 1888-040A, maximum permitted density, 1 dwelling unit per 3,600 square foot lot area. So that equals 12 dwelling units per acre. So this is the existing code of what is already in place for cottage units. And we're the only modification we're making is allowing senior housing to be permitted in this code that already exists. But it is, as Director Davis just said, it does have a slightly different density than the MDR8, given the unique type of housing it is. So it is allowing 12 units per acre.
Thank you. And as a reminder, this is going to go to a public hearing, so we're going to have the opportunity to explore this a little more in depth and get feedback from the community. Are there any other commissioners that have any comments on this?
Commissioner McCain here. I agree. I think this is really, it's housing that all of our communities should embrace. It gives the opportunity for the senior to live nearby their families. So when these units are created, it makes it a benefit to the whole residential use, I would say. And also I do agree on changing the age to 55. That's appropriate with all the other 55 or all the other senior cottage units that I'm familiar with in this area. So great idea.
Thank you, Commissioner McCain. If there's no other comments on this item, why don't we move to the next one, which is the Fences and Hedges Code Amendment.
Absolutely. So this one is a little bit more code amendments than the last one. So the reason for approaching this one is that we've seen in lots of cities, including Black Diamond, that hedges are often used and function as a fence. So they provide a site obscuring screen or barrier between houses or between houses in a road. So in a lot of cities, and we believe Black Diamond should be the same, the hedges are therefore regulated just like fences are, with the caveat that you don't need to get a building permit for a hedge as you may need to for a fence. So when amending this code, we have added hedges to the current fences and walls section to make it fences, hedges, and walls. And we've added a definition of hedge. You can see there on page 1. And we made it a really narrow definition, with the point being that we don't want people to think they have to cut down their trees or their shrubs or things that are spaced far apart. We really are just focusing on those hedges that are continuous, that are pretty much joined together and are creating this completely site obscuring wall, for lack of a better word, so that they're functioning that way. So that's what the definition there is. Take a look at that. And then for as far as the fences, hedges, and walls section, we've amended it again so that hedges are included to act like fences and walls. And then we have added exceptions to make sure that these amended code amendments remain consistent with other portions of your code. So this includes such things as buffering of non-residential uses, abutting residential zones, hedges can exceed that height limit in compliance with your landscaping code. And then we have also added a provision about the ordinary high watermark to make sure that the hedges located in the ordinary high watermark are complying with the shoreline master program's height limits to make sure those remain in compliance. And otherwise, these hedges are only regulated in the setback areas of the zone. So you can see that in part A there, that it's based on which front yard, rear yard, side yard, that's what is creating the height limits for the hedges. And that was a point of discussion that Director Davis and I wanted to have with the commissioners tonight is, do we want to limit the height limits do we want to limit the heights of hedges in all yards, or perhaps just in the front yard and in the ordinary high watermark shoreline setback, where that visual access, such as entering and exiting driveways and that sort of thing, is really the key that we're going for. And that's where the visual access is impeded the most. So part of the reason we wanted to bring this to you all before a public hearing is to get some input and perhaps modify our code amendments based on what you would like to see.
And if I could, it might be helpful to share my screen, just because I have a photo of some of the issues that we're running into that I thought might be helpful to give a visual. So are you okay if I share my screen, Chair Olson?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me see if I can do this here. Okay. So are you seeing the two photos?
Yes.
Okay. So the photo on the left was a situation where the person that lived where that driveway is could not back out of their driveway safely and be able to see oncoming vehicles coming down the street or people walking down the sidewalk or running down the sidewalk. You know, kids were riding their bikes down the sidewalks and stuff. And so the code currently requires that any vegetation in your front yard setback be at a 42-inch height limit. And clearly these trees were much taller than that and creating a real visual barrier, much like a fence would. A fence is also, you know, you can have a 6-foot tall fence, but as soon as it comes out into your front yard setback, the height of that fence needs to be dropped to 42 inches. So the picture on the right demonstrates it's somewhat of a safety issue. You know, when you're walking down the street, you know, people are saying, you know, it's hard to see, you know, somebody could be backing out of their driveway or somebody could be hiding behind those.
I apologize, Director Davis. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to note for the record that Commissioner Weedfall has joined us.
Oh, great. Thank you. Anyway, so this demonstrates why there's a need to also regulate hedges as well as fences, because they both sort of serve the same purpose, you know. So it's not to say that you can't have a tree in your front yard setback. I mean, many residents have those. And in this particular case, this resident, you know, one of the residents here did have several trees in the front, but they didn't create a sight distance issue. And so as part of the educational component to our code compliance, we thought it was important to clarify that hedges that served like a fence should also be regulated like a fence.
Commissioner McCain here. This is a very important distinction to make. I've been in parts of Morganville where you cannot see right or left of backing out someone's driveway. And the exact point that I was in a neighborhood and these people's home was very close to the bus stop. It just was dangerous. Of course, the neighbors, it was hard to get them to understand the limitation of the homeowner who was making the claim and asked them to cut down some of their vegetation. I think this is a great step forward to clear it up and we can start making our neighborhood safer For sure. And I know public safety is a big deal. We heard it last month with the comp plan amendments and people's issues. And I think this is a great place to start. Great job.
Thank you. And I, you know, I'm a big believer of trying to be proactive around this, you know, because you don't want people to go plant things thinking that, you know, they will grow and serve a purpose later only to find out that, you know, that's creating hardships, you know, in other ways. So in my mind, it would be good to put this in the code and then be able to help educate the public and prepare some handouts so that people can better understand what is and isn't allowed in the front yard setback, as well as, you know, we've had issues along the shoreline too, where people will plant, you know, tall hedges that go all the way down to the shoreline. And then it also creates issues with views when you're sitting on your, in your backyard, you know, you can't see out, you can't see out onto the lake. You can't see anything because those hedges are, you know, too tall, and you can't run a fence down above 42 inches in your shoreline setback. So it would seem to reason that the same would apply towards hedges.
Commissioner Jensen, if I read the comment from a citizen that we received just before the meeting, just concerned about some of the existing hedges in the community and connecting those to the history and so forth of the community, I can appreciate that. But I think that what we're talking about here, we're not talking about just deciding, oh, we don't like that hedge or this hedge and this has to go. I think it really does come down to safety issues. And these two examples, we wouldn't be asking the homeowners to take out the entirety of their hedge. It's just a matter of, you know, trimming those up if that would work, or removing, you know, two or three of those trees to create a safer environment. So I think that is, you know, very definitely something that's necessary and a good move, and doesn't put, you know, every hedge in town in jeopardy of the city asking them to take them out for whatever reasons.
Yes, and you're correct on that. So if you look in the pictures, you'll notice that the first 20 feet, those are relatively larger and taller arborvitae trees. But as you go back beyond 20 feet, there's some, you know, smaller arborvitaes that are serving like a fence, that the hedge, you know, clearly those were fine. Those can stay. It's just the first 25 feet of your property line where you need to be able to back a vehicle out and have some sight distance and create a more safe ability to access driveways, sidewalks, that type of thing. So yeah, it doesn't apply to all hedges. Certainly people can have hedges around their backyards for privacy features and things like that. Fencing would still be limited to a 6-foot height limit without going through a permitting process and putting that fence outside of the setback. Any fence over 6 feet would need a building permit, and it would have to be outside of the setback. So you'd have to pull that fence back, I think it's 7 feet from your side property line, maybe in some cases 5 feet.
Commissioner Amber, it sounds like the city already has code for setbacks, and these trees would be in, or these shrubs would be in violation of that code. And same with the shoreline setback. But the rest of the shrubbery should be left alone if it's out of the setback. I'm not in favor of, and this is just one example, apparently. I've seen examples on Baker Street of tall hedge fences, if you could say, but continuous hedges that are set back well away from the road. Mm-hmm. And they are just dividing property lines that are, and they're taller than 6 feet. And I talked with the homeowners about it. They're all, they all like their hedges. They all like the noise reduction it gives them. There's no sightline hazards of pulling in and out of driveways. This one example, I think the city would be fine in coming in and saying those few trees that are within the street setback have to be cut down. But the rest of them, I think, should be left alone. And let's see. So I don't like this this code amendment in going on the sides of the house all the way around the back. And from what I read of this code amendment, it encompassed the entire property. So I would be okay with the current setback limits from the public right of way, but anything beyond that is I would consider that, you know, private property. And if these people want to have a bunch of small trees or ferns or hedges or whatever growing up 8, 10, 12 feet, as long as they weren't in danger, I'm fine with people having having hedges that are that tall.
Thank you, Commissioner Amber. Are there any other comments? All right, I don't hear any. So I would entertain a motion to allow staff move forward with including items number one, housing definition, and number two, fences and hedges code amendments on the public hearing agenda.
Excuse me, Commissioner Olson, can we have these as separate motions?
We sure can.
All right, I'll make a motion to move the senior housing down to 55 age limit.
So the recommendation would be to allow staff to move forward with including number one, senior housing definition, in the public hearing. Is there a second? Commissioner McCain has seconded. All in favor say yes and raise your hand.
Yes.
Opposed,
Mr.
say Amber, no.
Yes.
Thank you. Opposed, say no. Motion carried.
Commissioner Jensen, on the next point, if I understand correctly, one of the questions that was raised is what we thought about those restrictions, whether they should be just for the front and shoreline, or if they should include all sides of the property. Is that correct?
Well, I think, and Director Davis, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this initial meeting is kind of just a informal summary of where we are to go. So what's going to happen is we're going to have a public hearing. We're going to get comments and receive feedback. Director Davis is going to have most likely more input, and, you know, whatever the changes we get from that venture, then, you know, does that make sense? I'm stumbling at the end there, but is that correct, Director Davis?
Yes, I think we can go forward with the public hearing, and then we can make the adjustments on the recommendations before we take it to the City Council. It's what I'm hearing tonight is you're all for the 42 inch height limit for fences and hedges in the front yard setback and along the setback from the ordinary high water mark in that setback area. But you would like to allow people to maintain their hedges at a taller height in their side yard and rear yard setbacks in most cases, in lieu of like fencing or as a privacy feature.
Or so, Commissioner Amber, also if their front yard hedge is further away from the setback, then, right. You know, if the setback is 25 feet and their hedge is at 30 feet from the setback, then that's fine. It's just within that setback requirement that's currently in place.
Commissioner Jensen, so it's my understanding that we could move this forward to public comment and allow the public to give us some feedback at our next meeting. And then based upon that and our comments tonight, then we can fine tune it and come up with the final document as far as how all those little details are going to come out. Is that correct?
Yes. Would you be in agreement with that, Emily?
Yes, and I did, you're correct, Commissioner. I'm sorry, did you say Johnson or Jensen?
Jensen.
That I did ask for input on that so that we know moving forward what amendments to expect from the commissioner so that we are better prepared to make them on the fly.
Then Commissioner Jensen, I would move that we move forward with this and bring it to for public comment at our next meeting.
Commissioner Jensen has made a motion. Is there a second?
Commissioner Perez, I second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Perez. All in favor, say yes and raise your hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Motion.
Mr. Amber, no.
Did you catch that, Ms. Hornquist?
Yes, I got that. Thank you.
All right. All right. Those are that brings the end of the new business. And so the next one is the Community Development Department report.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Thank you, Emily. Just to clarify, I have scheduled a public hearing. It's going to be noticed tomorrow and on June 16th for a June 22nd special meeting with the Planning Commission that would include a public hearing to take public testimony and further refine either or both of these code amendments at that time. So tonight's, this was more of like a study session just to bring these in front of you to get the discussion started. And there's more opportunities to make some revisions to these that are our upcoming public hearing on June 22nd.
Commissioner Am, excuse me. Is there a reason why the city isn't enforcing their height limits within the setback right now on these hedges? Or is it because they're hedges that the city doesn't feel it can enforce that height requirement?
We are enforcing in this particular situation that I showed you the picture, that was a code compliance violation. And we actually did enforce it, and the property owner met compliance by cutting those hedges in the first 25 feet down to a 42 inch height limit. What I'm trying to avoid is to make this more clear. And that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about with our website. Emily's been working really hard to try to update all of our planning forms. And she's also working on creating some handouts that will better help, I think, our citizens to know what they can and cannot do, you know, under the code regulations so that we don't run into this. Because, you know, it's hard when you've had, you know, you might have had that hedge for 20, 30 years and all of a sudden a new neighbor may move in and say like, hey, I can't back out of my driveway. And your code says that these trees shouldn't be over 42 inches along my driveway, you know? So we're trying to work on that educational and information component. And I think our new website is really gonna help with that. Like I said, Emily's been really actively involved in helping us to update our forms and get our website going. And we are actively working right now to create some handouts. So we would like to create a handout after we figure out what we want this code to say that would better help people understand what they could have in their front yard setback. I mean, clearly you can have, you know, you can plant a tree next to your driveway. As long as you're not creating this visual barrier that would prohibit people from being able to have a line of sight. So I hope that helped answer your question, Commissioner Amber.
Yeah, it did. One thing that I noticed in the city, and it's not just Black Diamond, it's every city, these little trees that they plant along the roadway, like in front of the shopping center along 3rd Avenue where the community center is and 76 Station, they've got all those little tiny deciduous trees.
Street trees, like a flowering cherry or something like that?
I'm not sure what kind of tree they are. They get pruned up from the ground up, I think maybe 6 feet, so that cars can see out underneath them. But they are, the shrubbery or the green, the leafy portion of it is right where truck drivers sit. And so when you're in a truck trying to see, you can't see past all of those. So that's something, and I brought this up years ago, that's a hazard for truck drivers trying to get in and out of shopping centers when they've got those line of trees and the leafy portion of it starts right at the height the truck driver's sitting at. So that I would like to see them, pruned up another 2 feet higher.
I'm going to share my screen really quick just to give us a visual of what we're, because I dropped the Google Maps down just to take a look here. So there's the community center. Oh, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, it's those trees up on the left.
These trees, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, in my mind, like that doesn't really create a sight distance because you can see through those, you know, the trucks, maybe you're right at the height they are right now. If you set up high in a truck, that might
create. It does.
Yeah. If you were trying to, so you're saying if you're trying to turn left.
If you're coming out of there and you're trying to turn onto the street, you got to get out beyond those trees to see the road.
Right. Well, so this whole area up 169 all the way to the city line towards Maple Valley, that's all part of the Gateway Overlay Corridor. And there are actually some new design requirements around that. And so the trees would not be allowed to be placed like that in our new developments. And so they'll actually pull the sidewalk back. It should have a meandering sidewalk. And you should see trees that look more like, let me see if I can zoom in a little bit here. I'm not the best at this. Where's Provident?
Yeah, the Provident trees are set way back.
Yeah, and see that's what, but I see this isn't even developed on these maps yet. Look at that. But they have like a meandering sidewalk that comes down and then they have trees placed on either side of the sidewalk. And so it doesn't create that kind of an issue. So as these properties redevelop, I don't think that we'll run into that issue per se, but I do see what you're saying here. If it is creating a sight distance, sorry if I'm making you all dizzy, but I see what you're saying along here, that these are really close to the right of way. And at the height they are with a taller vehicle, I could see where that would be problematic. So I don't
know. Commissioner McCain here, every time I go by a neighborhood and I think of Commissioner Amber and his sight distance issues, which as a truck driver, I didn't have any purview to, and I appreciate that, Dave. I seldom go through an arterial with those trees and I don't think of you. So I wanted to add too, when we go back to the fences, hedges issue, you know, the 72 inches on the side yard and rear yard is really all you need. If your hedge grows beyond 6 feet, it has a huge impact on your neighbor's property because it cuts out a lot of the sunlight to your neighbor's property. And I've recently had that issue where, you know, the neighbor was growing a 10-foot primidalis and the other neighbor couldn't grow a piece of grass. So I really like the definitions here, and I think that taking care of this now is going to help us in the future. But 6 feet on the side yard and rear yard, I think that's a great place to stop those hedges for the benefit of others too in a neighborhood.
Commissioner Amber, what about somebody that decides to build an accessory dwelling unit instead of a hedge, and they you know, it's 5 feet from the property line, but it goes up two stories. That's going to be a 20-foot wall hedge there then.
Well, food for thought.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things to consider.
And luckily, we have nothing but time.
Well, would you like me to continue on with my director's report?
That would be great. Thank you.
I feel like I have lots of things that I need to update everybody on. So in addition to trying to launch our new website, which I think is, Emily, do you remember, did they say that will be happening in the next week or two?
Yeah, I believe it is unofficially live, but they're having the kind of grand opening live in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be so much better and it's way more user-friendly. And we're trying to put a lot of links to our current documents on there so that the public can find things, and hopefully it will be a big improvement. We're also reviewing some of our processes. Like most recently, we're trying to understand how our pre-application meetings work. We're trying to encourage people that want to add an accessory dwelling unit or do an addition to their house that's on the shoreline, or do a short plat or a subdivision. Like, how can they get help from the city and how can we best help guide them? And so we're trying to implement some new procedures around how to submit a pre-application meeting, how that gets routed out for internal review when we schedule that meeting, how we relay the information that the city needs in order to adequately review their proposal, and give them some good established timelines. You know, people have ideas around, you know, maybe wanting to do an addition to their garage or adding a second story for an ADU, but they really don't know where to start. And I feel like our job in community development is to try to help our citizens and guide them through that process. So we are trying to make that more user-friendly by kind of reviewing some of our processes and the way that we've done things, starting out with our pre-application meeting process and to help guide them through the permitting process. So we're actively working on that, and we're hoping that we'll just keep making improvements as the year goes on, and we'll have a good website product for our department, or for the whole city for that matter. I'm only worried about our department at the moment, but going forward. So that's, I feel like that's pretty exciting. So another big piece of news is that the 2021 docket was adopted by the city council last Thursday evening. And they had no changes to the planning commission's recommendation. So we will be going forward trying to get those items reviewed this year. And that is, that's gonna take a lot of work. And, you know, it's already almost July, so we've only got half a year to try to get through some of those items. I've talked to a few people, and including some council members, that were feeling a little discouraged because they felt like the public wasn't heard, because some of those items that were recommended as suggestions were not recommended to be adopted. And so I tried to work really hard to get those, every item that somebody suggested, I put on the docket, because I wanted people to feel heard, and I wanted them to know that, you know, we saw their comments. You know, we heard last year that many comments came through. People were trying to get things on the docket. Nothing happened. I'm trying to turn that around so that people know that we are listening, and not everything can get adopted. We just don't have the staff and the manpower and the time and the number of meetings to get everything done that quickly. So I've tried to encourage people that didn't have items adopted on the docket that they can still come to the public hearing. They can still make recommendations if it's pertinent to the items that are on the docket. And if, you know, if we don't get through it this year, they can ask for it again in 2022 and we'll reconsider it again. So I don't want people to feel discouraged. You know, we're just a small city. We have a very small staff and we're all working really hard here. And in addition to all the items that have to, you know, I try to get things to you guys at the Planning Commission. We've got 2 council meetings a month. In addition to all that, you know, we're going to be opening to the public likely in early July, probably July 6th is what I'm hearing at this point. I don't know if that's official yet. But, you know, we're going to start having people walking in. We have people calling constantly. You know, we're working really hard. I'm setting an expectation with my staff that we need to be getting back to people in a timely manner. You know, if we have realtors calling us and asking us about a piece of property that they have a buyer interested in, you know, time is money. So we're trying to return those calls promptly. We're trying to help people know how they can move forward on purchasing property or making improvements to their property. And so all that takes a lot of staff time. And so, and then we have a lot of development activity coming through. You know, we've, I had Joey run some numbers for me earlier around, and I apologize, I had this pulled up. You know, building permits, you know, we're at the same number of building permits this May as we were last May. We've got just a slight increase in revenue from a year ago, but, you know, just in May alone, we took in building permits went down a little bit actually in May because we think it's the price of lumber that's kind of slowing that development a little bit. But we had 10 new building permits, 19 mechanical permits, couple sign permits. So far in June, we've already had 25 new building permits submitted and we're only on the 8th. So I feel like it's starting here to, we're going back in the upswing a little bit and things are picking up a little bit more. We're also getting more special event permits. You know, with the COVID restrictions being lifted, we're getting more people coming in and applying for things. We've got the, is it the Miners Days is coming up on July 17th in downtown. And so everybody's really excited about that. And then I know there's the Labor Day Festival over Labor Day weekend. And then I think there might be a marathon or a triathlon or something coming through that Maple Valley might be hosting in the fall. And then I've heard rumors of a Tough Mudder, I think it is. So, but I'm not sure when that is. But anyway, so things are starting to pick up. So, you know, we're just, you know, we're go, go, go. And staff is super busy. And I just, you know, want you as the Planning Commission to know that, you know, we're working really hard to try to keep, you know, our department moving and, you know, keeping the public informed and trying to help everybody understand, you know, our processes and procedures. So I just wanted to mention that.
Director Davis, do you mind if I piggyback that?
No, not at all.
I thought it would be a good time to get a second date from everybody, from the planning commissioners within a month, in case we needed to add a second meeting, that we would have a better gauge on everyone's availability. So if everyone could think of that over the next couple of days, and then maybe shoot us an email on what that looks like. And, you know, what I'm talking about is like third Tuesday of the month or something like that, right? So not a specific date, but just a general, you know, or I can't do Wednesdays or something like that. So we just know when everyone would be available in case the likelihood that we would have a second meeting going forward the rest of the year or parts of the year.
Yeah, that brings up a good point, Chair Olson, because I did have a citizen tell me today that they thought it was sort of a bad public process to call special meetings to hold public hearings. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think that's quite common in many cities. Of course, we'd like to hold our public hearings as much as possible during our regular meetings, but you know, sometimes you can't always accommodate that. And with the Planning Commission, we only meet once a month. And so we need to start thinking about that. And if we sort of had a schedule laid out that we may have these secondary regular meetings between July and October, for example, I feel like that would help with that perception that we're not giving good notice to the public. So, but I like your suggestion, Chair Olson, around maybe the third Tuesday of the month, if the Planning Commission is up for having that second meeting over the summer. I know summers can be really busy and, you know, the weather gets nicer and it's harder to accommodate that sometimes, but if we could be thinking on that sooner than later, that would be really good.
Does anybody have any initial reaction? Only positive at the moment, though?
Commissioner Amber, only positive.
Commissioner Amber, go ahead.
I said only positive. I don't have any objection to that.
Commissioner Jensen, as far as penciling in that extra meeting, and it's not assuming that we're going to have two meetings every month, but I think it might be easier if we did say like the third Tuesday. And I can speak from experience that being able to attend these meetings with them on Zoom, I've attended at least two meetings, if not three, when I have been out of town. So it's just a matter of taking my computer with me and making sure that I'm somewhere where I can, I have internet. And then it just takes an hour or 2 hours out of my vacation, but I can still attend the meeting. So this format, while it does maybe have some limitations, you know, I've really appreciated it. And so I think that makes it easier for us to be able to be flexible, even with summer schedules and year-round schedule, to be able to attend meetings when we're maybe out of town.
Commissioner McCain here. I really agree. And I like the Tuesday day myself. And it just would be a naturally, I think having it on a Tuesday, if it's the first and the third Tuesdays, that would be great for me. And Tuesdays in the evening is just reserved for this kind of work. So I like the same day, different day of the month on a Tuesday. Yep.
Great.
All right. So it sounds like a lot of folks are on the third Tuesday of the month. So for the commissioners that still need to think about it or look into their schedules, go ahead and do that and let us know if that works or if something better does. But I think that's a good date. So thank you. Commissioner Davis.
Okay, so then, and let me know, like, if I'm just, I feel like it's maybe you guys would appreciate having the updates on what's going on and the happenings. So if I'm giving too much and prolonging the meeting, just tell me to shorten it next time. I just feel like I'd rather give you more information than not enough. So the final housing action plan is going to the City Council in the next regular meeting on June 17th. So we anticipate that will be adopted at that meeting. And the PROS survey, oh gosh, we got so many responses back on our Parks and Recreation and Open Space survey. And so I've got a meeting with Blue Line later this week to hand off all of those survey responses and have them compile some data for us and then talk about next steps on how to move forward with the PROS plan. So I would anticipate that coming back to you sometime this summer, probably not July, but maybe August. And I'll have a better idea next month in my director's report on how that schedule is probably going to look. And then we've got a council retreat coming up on June 18th, and I'm working to prepare a work plan for our department for the rest of the year to share with the council and get their input. And, you know, in addition to, you know, what's on the docket, you know, we've got lots of other little housekeeping issues with our development regulations and, you know, just lots going on here. So anyway, I should have more information on that next month as well. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Like I said, you know, we're just, our department is really, really busy, and we've got lots of development activity going on, and people are kind of biting at the bit to get moving, you know, especially moving dirt this time of year. You know, we've hit June, we're getting into the drier months, and people want to get busy, you know, doing their landscaping and building their structures. And so, yeah, we're just scrambling to keep our head above water right now. So if the commissioners have any questions of me, I'd be happy to discuss.
Commissioner Amber, so we don't have anything to do with the housing action plan anymore, right? That's not coming back to us?
That's correct. Yes, we had the study session, and then the council met in May. It was, the date's escaping me at the moment. I'm sorry, but it was in early May, I believe. And it might have been late April, though, now that I'm thinking of it. Anyway, they made some changes, you know, they had a lively discussion about it and made some recommended changes. And so we're in the process of getting that updated so I can get that back in the packet tomorrow and have it be ready for next Thursday's regular meeting.
Okay, and then what are we going to have to do with the parks and recreation?
Oh, I was just going to say really quick, the housing action plan doesn't really create any policy or anything. It's just a document to kind of guide us as we go through the housing element of the comp plan. The parks and recreation plan, we need to update our PROS plan this year. And then that will then guide us on our parks element of the comp plan as well. I'd like to get the PROS plan updated this year. It hasn't been updated since 2008. And then we'll see if we can also incorporate that into a comp plan amendment at the same time for the parks element.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions or ideas? Anything else you guys might be thinking of?
Commissioner LeConte?
I've been doing a extensive map of Black Diamond using all the county plat maps and put them all together into one big map. And I was looking in our comp plan, and driving around by the 10 Trails area, and they got that new apartment complex in there, which seems to be extremely high density. That has never appeared on any of the flat plans from any of the density regions.
Call from Portland, IN. Call from
here, take care of that.
Isn't that just the way it works?
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, why wasn't that ever shown in a density region? Like, we had medium density, we had low density, but never any high density and apartment type.
Which area specifically are
you? 10 Trails to the west.
I believe he's speaking about the villages, the apartment complex.
Oh, the MPDs. Well, those were, I mean, there is some higher density built into that development agreement.
But it was never shown as in words or graphs. Never any high density stuff, unless it got slipped in somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Commissioner McCain remembers, but I do remember that there being a higher density in some of the zoning, and we did receive feedback and they wanted to lower it. Commissioner McCain, do you recall anything?
You're referring to the MPD?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all, that was a whole different process and different criteria for consideration, but yes, it was approved as part of the MPD.
Yeah, so I think it was. You know, it's not the zoning. You're probably referring to Commissioner LeConte that we've gone through on the commission, but.
So is that separate from 10 Trails?
No, the apartment complex there is part of 10 Trails.
Part of it. And that's mm-hmm. part of the 850 homes that are going in? That were approved for?
In 10 Trails?
Yeah.
I think there were more homes approved than that in that.
I never got to see any of those.
I thought it was like 4,800 or something like that. But so
Mr. Amber, I think he's might be referring to the first traffic survey that has to be done at 800 homes. Or 850 homes.
Oh yeah, see, and I apologize because quite honestly, I don't really track that. That's Andy Williamson's group and the master review and development team. And so, I mean, I can certainly find more out about that. I know they are tracking how many building permits they have, but it sounds like you're...
Are you able to get PDF plant maps?
I don't know that
they go see what's his name in the.
I think I would. I checked directly with Mr. Williamson about that.
Okay. Because I've been doing traffic studies in addition to what the experts have been doing, and the amount of feeder roads we have, and things like that. And I don't see anywhere where traffic coming from that many high density areas was addressed. It is going to feed the west road of around Lake Sawyer with a pretty good number of vehicles.
I know they have addressed traffic, and I know that there's a plan. There's a certain order that they're actually implementing that plan for their traffic improvements. I don't know if any of you had an opportunity to see the presentation that Oak Point made to the city council a couple months ago, but I know there was a slide in there that showed what the plan was and where the different traffic improvements, the order that they were scheduled to happen. And I think I took a picture of the slide, if I can just find it really quick. So yes, they did have a slide in that presentation. Here, I could probably forward it.
You can email me it if you want to.
Okay, I'll email it to you.
And can you email that to all of us?
It's just, you want me to share the screen really quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on just a second because I have to email it to myself. And
Commissioner Amber, and I'm not sure, but Commissioner LeConte may be referring to these apartments back when this... the 10 Trails development was first getting proposed with all the cute little pictures of how tranquil and peaceful it was going to be, never showed anything like those apartment buildings being built there.
Right, exactly.
It was all supposed to be apartments on top of retail, and there weren't supposed to be huge blocks of apartments.
Well, there's just one small corner, and I believe it's under 200 apartments in this development that's being put in.
If that was never part of the what was originally proposed or in their drawings that they presented, it just showed up, and obviously it got approved by the city staff, but that was never shown to anybody in any public meetings leading up to the approval of the MPDs.
Commissioner Amber, this is Commissioner McCain. You know, I sat in on all those hearings, and I do know that you were there too. And the densities were all approved. What wasn't approved is the architectural style, and perhaps that's what's kind of sticking with you right now. But all of those densities were all approved, and I remember the conversations were long and laborious. But you know, we didn't have input on the design features, which I think that was minutia at that time, but the densities were all approved. So, and you know, as I think about this, I live on Lake Sawyer. I live on the west side of Lake Sawyer, which is feeding right off that Lake Sawyer Road. And I swear, I mean, I don't notice any additional traffic. Now, it might be me, I might be naive, but I travel these roads for a living. And I'm amazed and astounded, quite frankly. I'm not up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but gosh, I think that, you know, they've done as good of a job as could have been possible planning this so far. Now, I don't know, I'm sure other people have other opinions, but those densities were approved. The design element wasn't approved, to my recollection.
Well, and I know I can speak that they're actively, you know, every day they're working on trying to navigate these next improvements. Now this, I'm sorry, I apologize if you can see my screen. This was a picture I took of the slide presentation that Oak Point gave at the council meeting. And so this kind of gave a timeline of when these different improvements were to occur. And so I don't know if this, I have a feeling that this is constantly being updated, and maybe this is not even accurate any longer, but the first improvement, the first phase was to do the acceleration lane at 288th and State Route 169, which is outside the city, of course. And then from there, you know, they have quite a bit of improvement scheduled for next year. And I know they've been actively working with WashDOT on the improvements on State Route 169. But again, I'm not involved in any of those meetings. I get periodic updates from Mr. Williamson. I know he's working actively with our Public Works Director and Oak Point to try to get these improvements, you know, ready for construction. So the T intersection that was just done on Roberts Drive and State Route 169 wasn't on this list. That was just something that Oak Point did just to make a temporary fix improvement in order to create a better safety for that turn lane there. So anyway, I hope that kind of sheds some light, but that's really all I have. I would suggest checking with Andy Williamson.
Yeah,
more additional details on
I did some rough calculations. We have on the west side of 169, we've only got 10.5 miles of feeder road. And we got 55 at that. This was a year and a half before the COVID thing hit. And we had 5,500 cars registered in Black Diamond. And those would never fit on that road, those roads, when they're at the speed limits and the facing. Mm-hmm. Just a general look at how much traffic we could have.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner Conte. Director Davis, did you have anything else for your Community Development Department report?
I don't have anything else at this time, but thank you.
Great. Well, now that is the end of the Community Development Department report. Thank you, Director Davis, and thank you, Ms. Adams. It was nice meeting you virtually.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, anytime. The last item on the agenda is public comments. Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission are encouraged to do so at this time. Is there anyone that would like to speak during this period? I'll ask one more time if there's anybody out there. If you have dialed in, you would hit *9 to raise your hand. Hearing no one and seeing no one, we'll move to the end of the meeting. So unless there's anything else, any other comments or questions, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Well, we can just stay here too.
Commissioner Locantio.
Commissioner Locante makes a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Jensen, I'll second.
Seconded. All in favor say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Commissioner Amber.
All opposed say no. Motion carried. All right. Well, good seeing you.